It's great to see you all here this morning. It's great for me to be back. I've been gone for a few weeks over to Africa and going to give a little bit of an update on MAF and on our work around the world, focusing mainly on Africa this morning. But Connie and I have been serving now that we're in our 38th year with MAF, and we are really still excited to be part of what God is doing around the world through this great organization, working with so many different missions and non-government organizations and relief situations in many places. And it's really exciting to be part of that and see what God is doing. You probably have heard that Connie and I have been allowed by MAF to relocate to Florida, Fort Myers, the West Coast, Gulf Side, and to be close to my folks who are aged and ailing, and it would be great for us to be able to be closer. And so MAF is allowing me to continue my role remotely from there. I mean, I'll be traveling back probably 3-4 times a year for various responsibilities here in Nampa, but we'll be operating out of Florida. And we're greatly going to miss you, because we've been attending this church here now for 16 years or so and been a part of this, and it's part of us, and we will miss you dearly. And we thank you so much for your support and your prayers that you've given us over all of these years. We're going to take a look around the world a little bit here, and I mentioned mostly a focus on Africa, but I would like to give just a quick little update about our Central Asia program. And back in August, with the crazy situation in that country, our people were forced to evacuate along with our 3 airplanes out of there as well. And we're very thankful that everyone made it out safely and that they are all doing well. And every one of them, except with the exception of just one family, are just itching to get back in there. And over the last few months, we have made contact with the government there, and they are willing to have us come back in. We served under that government before the U.S. was in there. But now we're welcomed back in. The non-government agencies that we serve there are fighting hard against a great humanitarian crisis that is there with supply and demand and all sorts of things. And so they are asking for us to come back in as well. The holdup has been our aircraft are U.S. registered, and the U.S. won't allow us to operate them back there. And so now for the last several months, we've been looking all over the world for other options and looked into about 60 different countries that would possibly register our aircraft in them and give us a certificate to operate them in this country. We've settled on Ecuador, and it's a good chance that Ecuador, we're working right now to see that come to fruition. You can remember that in your prayers, and that it would be done quickly, and that we could get back where our hearts are to help the people in Central Asia. But I'd like to take us over to Africa, Guinea, and we're going to look at a couple of different countries, Uganda for one, and then Guinea, which is over on the Atlantic coast of Africa. But before I go there, I want to just show you a map that I've always enjoyed seeing. And it's one that shows how huge Africa is. The continent is just massive. Those are the various countries that are in there. I'm going to see if my laser pointer works here. And there it's coming up on the back one. That's the United States tucked into Africa. Up here is Spain, and then France and Germany and Belgium and the Netherlands all up there. There's Italy, all of Eastern Europe coming over in the blue. And down into the yellow orangish color there is all of India. And the orange part down below is all of China and all of Japan down the yellow. And over on the island there is United Kingdom. And all of these fit within the continent of Africa. It's a huge place. When you see the map of Africa itself, it has over 50 countries that are in there. And I'm learning them as I go. I'm still not very good at it. But I got to 2 new ones on this trip. We're going to start off in Uganda, and this was back in January. But before I actually went to Uganda, our dear friend Emil Kundig, who you will meet in one of the next slides, and his wife, Margaret, have been working on opening a program in Guinea, West Africa. And they've been working on that for 2 years now. A great deal of groundwork, getting permissions to come in and bring our U.S. Commercial operations in and be authorized to use that in Guinea, just like we did in Central Asia. And it's been a long, long process. In spite of the fact that there was a coup earlier this year, and all of the ministers of all of the organizations that they were working with have changed, God has worked through, and we have permissions. And when those were all secured and close to being done, we all met in Uganda. Uganda is a beautiful place where we have our MAF International, another set of MAF around the world. They have a big program there in Uganda and a beautiful facility, which they allowed us to use for some training. And we stayed at a beautiful guest house there, African Inland Mission Guest House. And it's just very comfortable and beautiful weather there, right on the equator, and beautiful greenery that grows around, and all of the flowers that show up and just blossom and testify to God's beauty and the amazing things that He's created for us. It was a very neat place to be. The MAF International hangar that they have there in Uganda, and the operations that they fly to Sudan and to Kenya and all through Uganda, supporting missions and relief effort there, was open to us where we could meet and have the classroom. Emil is in the picture here in the foreground, and then next, standing up at the table is Roy. He's from Finland, and the one seated at the end is Dave Forney. He's from the U.S., but he's working with MAF International. And the three of these and myself were able to spend over 50 hours of ground school working in what they call basic indoctrination. It sounds kind of like a cult or something. But just teaching all of the ins and outs of our commercial entity and to qualify each of them to be part of it and to fly our aircraft under that banner. The scintillating topics that we were covering were things like federal aviation regulations and record-keeping requirements and all of that kind of stuff. And a great deal of stuff, 50 hours, of course. But not all of it was entirely boring. There were a few things that we were able to do too. As we looked out of the window from our classroom, we could see down into the hangar at the airplane that's right there at the open doors. We could see on out across the taxiways and the runway, the dirt runway, all the way out. I don't know if you can see it in the picture, but there is Lake Victoria off in the setting over there. And we had a nice breeze off of that, and it was very comfortable and cool as we were teaching. One of the things that we had in the teaching was a little bit of a field trip where we would go and we would work in the aircraft and do review emergency drills that have to be done. We would check the fire extinguishers in the plane, the exits, and all of that type of stuff, and make sure that all of the pilots were well familiar with their briefings on that. And then we went out back and started a fire in a fire pan with some jet fuel, and put it out with the fire extinguishers, which is kind of always a lot of fun. You always hope that the fire extinguisher works after it's been hanging on the wall for a few years. And so it was fun to do. This picture is us getting ready to open some life vests and practice donning those, like we would have to explain to our passengers if we have to cross the lake or anything like that. And so just some of the training that was done. After that, then we got back into the aircraft after work had been done on it and all new avionics put in, a new engine and all of that. And we put it through its paces just to make sure that it was working well. It did a very, very fine job. Each pilot also had to get prepped for his check rides, for the FAA check rides, which I'm qualified to give. And we had a prep flight going out to do all kinds of instrument approaches and emergencies and all types of things. And then check rides for each of them also. And so it was a really full 2 or 3 weeks that we spent together going through and getting all of these things crossed off so that we could function in Guinea as an accepted certificate there. So as soon as we finished with that, I jumped on an airliner and headed back here to Boise, and Roy and Emil took the airplane and went across Africa to deliver it to Guinea. They started in Kampala and spent the night in Arua, and then the next day a long flight all the way over to Bangui, Central Africa, fueled there and then overnighted in Cameroon. And then the next day a long trip over to Ghana, Accra, and overnighted, and then Liberia, Monrovia, and finally, 5 days later, arrived in Conakry. Africa is a really big place. And they got there and it was great. So the next month was spent just finalizing all the authorizations and things. And finally we got the call, things are in order, you can come over. And my boss and myself and two others from our maintenance division went over just to make sure that everything was in line and in orderly so that we could start operations there. And so we made our way over to Conakry, which is right out there on the Atlantic Ocean on the very west side of Africa. And we got to stay in another beautiful guest house there with a view of the Atlantic Ocean this time, and had a wonderful time there. It was comfortable and it was a nice place. We got to see the hangar that Emil had arranged to the Guinea Airlines went defunct, and we were allowed to rent some space in their hangar there and office space as well. Very comfortable and nice situation there. And then we had to test out all of the systems that it takes to operate the aircraft. And so one of those very important is fueling. We have to have good fuel. And so we checked out the company that provided it and their all the checks and things that they do to make sure that it's good quality fuel and how we get it put into the airplanes and all proper equipment so that we can do that safely. And then back in the background, you can see the tower, the control tower at the international airport there. We had to go and file our flight plans. We had to get customs clearance, even for a domestic flight. And we had to get weather briefings, such as they were in the country. And all of those hoops are jumped through, then it was time to start off on our first semi-operational flight in Guinea. When we were back in ground school, Emil had showed us a map that he had prepared. And it was of the country of Guinea with the various mission stations that he had visited. He and his wife had taken the Land Rover and they had traveled for a month around the country to visit the missionaries that were out there and see the work that they were doing. And there are little dots all over this map and lines that are connecting them to the capital city. And those were the flights that we were going to take to various mission groups to meet them. The people there are so excited. They've wanted to have MAF in country for so many years, and it just hasn't been possible. We haven't been able to get permissions to work there. Now Emil has finally gotten those permissions, and we're so excited. So he planned our first flight from Conakry, which is because of the projector shining on his arm. It's right there on his arm. out to the farthest station that we would go to down in the southeast corner of the country, and it's called Nzerikore. Starts with an N and then says Zerikore, so that's how you kind of say it. Nzerikore. And so we were going to head out there, and he explained to us that to get there by road is arduous. It's a very circuitous route so that you can avoid the boundaries and visas in the other countries that you would have to drive across to get there. And it's just really a tough trip. In the dry season, it takes 2 to 3 days and 18 hours of driving. And that's horrible roads. It's working just, really concentrating totally on the drives. And it's just really, really difficult. In the rainy season, it's just not even possible. The holes fill with mud. Whole trucks go and disappear in the mud holes, and they have to drag them out with winches, and you can get stuck behind them for days at a time as they winch them out, and it's just hardly possible to travel in the rainy season at all, which is about half of the year. We were able to load up the airplane, fuel it up, and make our trip down there, and it took us a whopping 2 hours and 25 minutes to fly there. We were greeted at this place. And that's all seasons. We can go any time of the year with the airplane. We got there and we were met by the staff of a mission hospital there, by the Christian Missionary Alliance organization, and they took us out to have lunch with the people there and a tour of the facility. And they were so excited about our finally being there and starting to become operational. They were talking about all of their experiences that they had had on the roads and with problems in the countries and evacuations that they've had to do. They showed us their nurses' training station there, where they train the Guinean people to become nurses in the various hospitals and clinics around the country. They have a clinic that they do once a week, just a walk-in clinic. And a couple days before we were there, they had it, and there were 147 patients that were seen in that one day. They have operating facilities, they have maternity wards, and all kinds of just a beautiful system. It's all solar-powered, and it runs very, very well and efficiently. And it's a privilege to be able to partner with them to help people physically and spiritually. There are Bible verses stenciled all over the walls of the campus there. And no one comes without hearing the gospel. And it's just a fantastic outreach there. It was just one of the places that was ready to accept us. Emil had also planned for us to go up to another place called Kankan. And that one is a little bit closer by air, and only a two hours and three minute flight up there. And but likewise, in the dry season, it's a 2-day trip, 14-hour drive over arduous roads. And it's a privilege to go there. We met the pastor and his wife there, a Guinean pastor and his Swiss wife, and they are there planting churches in this remote section of Guinea and having great success with that, but also great troubles. They told us of times when they had to evacuate over the roads, weren't sure which direction to go out, where the rebels were, and all of this type of thing. And they're just so relieved to have the backup of being able to be evacuated by MAF if that should happen in the future. Great ministry that they're doing there. And then the third place that we went to also was called Kisidugu. I like that word. I think it's kind of fun to say. Kisidugu. And it was a place that had been abandoned. The airstrip had been abandoned, and Emil, when he was there to inspect it, said, how about if we came and fixed it up so that we could use it again? So he hired people to do the job, and then we took some inspectors from the Civil Aviation Authority out there to reopen the airstrip. So it was kind of a big deal. We were met. I didn't take pictures of who we were met by there. But again, it's a short flight, an hour and 40 minutes, but we were welcomed by the officials that were there to open the airstrip again, and it was kind of neat. But as we pulled up, we also saw off in the distance there, you can see there's a tree over there and some Land Rovers and stuff underneath the tree. I'll zoom in here just a little bit, and you can see there are people there with their cameras up, and waving, and they're so excited. This is the missions community from that city that has been working in teaching the people skills, technical skills, auto mechanics, woodworking, sewing, all different kinds of skills that they can use to have some sort of an income and stable living there as they teach them about the Word of God also. They were so excited to be able to have the airplane back come and help them, and we had a wonderful time there. We took the inspectors, they took a look at the airstrip there, and we took them out to lunch, and then got back in the plane and flew back to the capital city of Conakry. It was a really neat time just to be able to see those people and see there were tears of joy that they were finally going to have the airplane there to assist and to speed their work there in Africa that they have so faithfully been for all of these many years. It was a privilege to meet them and to help out the country and to be able to help them out in the future. So it was a very, very valuable time. And then we came away from the pre-operations audit saying there are a few things that we need to fix up, but we are really, really close. And we were very happy that most things were in play and operational so that we can begin work probably within the next month. And so it was a very, very exciting thing. This is our newest program in the world. We're in 15 countries all over the world in MAF-US, and probably more like 50 countries when you put all of our MAFs in the whole world together. This is a joint effort between MAF International and MAF-US to start this one, and it's exciting outreach. From there, we jumped into the plane and popped from Conakry on down to Monrovia, Liberia, which is two countries away, and crossing over Sierra Leone on the way there. And it's just an hour and a half flight to get down there. And this is where our maintenance is going to be done, our major maintenance. And so we wanted to go there and inspect their situation there too. Beautiful hangar there and very nicely set up. And it was fun to spend our last few days there. As we were there in Liberia, we learned a lot about the history there. And you know that Africa struggles in all different parts with all kinds of civil wars, all kinds of coups. I think within the last couple of months, there have been three coups in countries in Africa. And it's just really something. And war just is devastating to the countries that are already impoverished. And as we looked around and saw sites and ruins and things around the city, I was just reminded of all of the disastrous news that we've been hearing. Even there, occasionally I would get a glimpse of the news of things happening in Ukraine and just terrible things all around the world, in Haiti and in Congo. And it just tears your heart out. And it's so easy to get depressed. It's so easy to be saying, God, are you really in control? Are you taking this? Why don't you just come back and set everything straight? It would be so good. And it's easy to get depressed and just not feel well about what's happening in the world. It's easy to start getting nervous also. Are we going to be able to accomplish these things for the Lord with the world and such crazy things? And so while I was reading my devotions in the mornings, I was reading through the book of John, and I was coming towards the end, which is very appropriate because we are coming into the Lent season here now. And this morning we just celebrated Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And in just a couple of weeks we're going to do, next week I think it is Palm Sunday, and then Good Friday will be coming, and then we'll do Easter. And I was reading through this in John and his writings about the experience of going through the original Holy Week with Jesus. And to me it was just fascinating to see those things and to put things into perspective on how God is in control. And he really planned everything out so that on the day of Passover, the Passover lamb, Jesus Christ, was sacrificed on the cross to pay for our sins forever and ever. And it's just so amazing to see that. And it gave me hope. And it was so good. But I also remembered the words of Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 24, where he talks about, and there will be wars and rumors of wars, and there will be pestilence, and there will be famines, and there will be earthquakes, and you'll know that the time is coming near. And we ask about that, and our world is in turmoil, and we see all of these things happening, and it's easy again to be kind of fearful. And then, after reading about his crucifixion and his burial, the glorious pages turn, and you go to John chapter 20. And you read about his resurrection, and it's just fantastic. And he goes and he talks early the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed. And she was upset because she didn't know where they had taken the Lord. He was gone. His body was gone. She went and told Peter, and Peter and John ran to the tomb and saw that it was true. The Lord's body was gone. The stone had been removed. And it was just devastating to them. They didn't know what had happened. And they went back and hid themselves in their rooms. And then Mary stayed outside of the tomb, and she was crying. And she saw two angels in white seated there where Jesus' body had been, and one at the head and one at the foot. And they said, "Woman, why are you crying?" She said, "They have taken my Lord away. And I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there. She didn't realize it was him. And he said, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?"
She thought he was the gardener. Sir, Jesus said to her one word, Mary. And she fell on the ground and cried out, Rabboni, which is teacher. And Jesus said, don't hold on to me, but go and tell my brothers that I have risen and that I will meet them in Galilee. She did. She told them that. They didn't know what to do. The disciples were behind locked doors. They were fearful of the Jews. Their Lord had been crucified. He had been killed. Now he'd been stolen. They didn't believe Mary that he was alive. And there they were. And Jesus came and stood among them. And what did he say to them? The first word out of his mouth was, peace. I bring you peace. Was their world torn up? It was totally devastated. There were all kinds of horrible things happening around them, including the loss of Jesus, their dear companion. And now all of a sudden, there he was in their midst, in a locked room where he had just appeared between them. He said, peace be with you. And they saw him and they were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again Jesus said, peace be with you. As my Father sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. That was how Jesus introduced himself to them again. But you remember that Thomas wasn't there. And he said, I don't care what you guys said you've seen. I won't believe until I put my fingers in the nail holes in his hands and my hand into his side. I won't believe. So a week later, Jesus shows up when Thomas is in the room through locked doors again. And he stands there and again he says, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach your hand out and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. That's us. We've taken this message of Jesus giving his life on the cross, and we've believed it. And Jesus, way back here, he called us blessed for doing that. When he prayed for his disciples just before going to the cross in chapter 17 of John, he prayed for them also who would believe. He's already, and all this time, been praying for us. It's just incredible. I think of that whole bit about Jesus saying, peace be with you, three times when he first saw his disciples. And I think about how glorious it is that not only does Jesus give us salvation and forgiveness and righteousness imputed to us by what he did, but he grants us peace in tough times. And it made me think about a few other verses too. As I was looking through words in the scriptures, I came up with a few others here. One of them was Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. We just celebrated a few months ago the coming of Jesus as a baby in the manger. And Isaiah had predicted that, and he said, one is coming, a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and of his peace there will be no end. And he said, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, bringing peace to the world. What a great thing. We think of what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called the sons of God. He not only wants us to have peace, he wants us to be peace. We read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and patience, and perseverance, and on and on. Peace is a function of us being filled with the Holy Spirit. We also read that in Colossians 1, chapter 1, verses 19 through 20, these things about Jesus. For God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him, and through him, Jesus, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood. Through his blood shed on the cross. What we've celebrated here this morning, it was so that man could have peace with God. God wants us to have this peace in our hearts, even when times are troubled, even when there are wars, evacuations, when we see crazy things happening in our own country. We are to have peace, and we are to be those beacons of that. And we are to take that peace to others. First, the peace that people can have with God the Father, because we are enemies of his until we accept him into our hearts. We are his enemies. That's a war that's going on too. So first of all, we give the gospel and we tell about that cause. And then we seek to promote peace all around the world. Quite an appropriate message that we have here. One that we can really take to heart. In closing, just want to read two more verses out of John. John is so good. You remember, he's the disciple that Jesus loved. And he was very close to Jesus and was actually leaning on his breast at the Last Supper, what we celebrated this morning. And this is what it says in John chapter 14, verse 27. He said to his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." It's powerful. It's wonderful. And then next two chapters over, in John chapter 16, verse 33, listen to this. "I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." What a great advocate we have. He prayed for us before we ever believed. He sacrificed himself before anyone ever believed. And he still advocates for us at the throne of God the Father Almighty, that he would keep us working here, not take us from the world, but help us to be salt and light in this world, that we can bring peace to others and that they can be reconciled to God. It is such a privilege to be part of a church like this that dedicates a whole month or more of their time to highlighting missions. And all of the missionaries that we serve around the world are working in very, very difficult places and seeing the Word of God change people and change their lives and give them hope. It's a wonderful thing to be part of. I want to thank this church for their part in our many of us. And we're all in it together. It takes every single one of us. And we're really going to miss you all. We have a couple more weeks that we'll be here in church, but we're really going to miss you. But we have a privilege of going and being part of another congregation and being part of that and seeing other people come to know this great gospel that we share everywhere all around the world. Let's just close in a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, the fields are white and ripe and ready for harvest. And we pray to you that you will send laborers to go out and work in the fields. Father, it's so great to be part of what you are doing here on earth, to see this gospel of righteousness, this gospel of forgiveness, of salvation, and of peace go out to a very, very needy world. Help us to be faithful. Help us to do what you would have us to do right here in our neighborhoods and as we support those who work all around the world too, dear Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.